You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Latino USA. In the wake of the Olympics, Latino USA takes a look at topics related to Brazilians and Brazilian Americans. That's coming up tonight after 7 on the Ideas Network.
First, a new report published by the Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce shows that Wisconsin could have a shortage of nearly 4,000 doctors by the year 2035.
And according to that report, demand for doctors in the state could jump by 25% over the next 2 decades.
Joining us now to talk about the expected doctor shortage is George Quinn. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce. George, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Well, let's start. This is obviously a supply and demand issue. We'll get into some of the things that are being done about it, but I want to start on the demand side. Where do we see an increased demand for doctors in Wisconsin coming from?
Well, it comes from both the growth in overall population in Wisconsin, projected to increase by 12% over the next 20 years, but more importantly, by the increase of the over 65 population, which is expected to increase 69%. Folks that are 65 and over tend to place much more demand on health care, about 3.5 times as much as the overall average.
And this is a problem, I imagine, as the baby boomer population ages around the country. Wisconsin's probably not alone in this, but are we, as demographic trends go, a particularly aging state?
We are. We're probably in the upper half in that regard. And I think there are other states that would not necessarily be in the same situation 20 years from now. Florida is a good example of that. But in terms of the upper Midwest, Wisconsin's fairly typical.
And on the supply side, do we see not enough doctors being trained now to have them online and ready to rock in 20 years?
Yes, I think that's the multifactored problem there. Number one, while the over 65 population in Wisconsin is projected to increase by the amount we indicated, the working age population, the 18 to 64, is expected to decrease by 1%. So we have a very much of a mismatch here in terms of supply and demand. Secondly, we produce out of our medical schools and residency programs a number of physicians every year, but in no way at its current rate will keep up with what we need.
And of course, if the population as a whole aging, those doctors are part of that population. I imagine we're going to see a lot of those doctors aging, retiring out of the system and being just patients instead of being patients and doctors themselves.
That's true, although Wisconsin has a lower than average age in its physician workforce. So we do benefit from that. We're in one of the lower quartiles there in that regard.
So that's 20 years from now. Let's look at 2016 for a moment. How do we stack up now when it comes to the number of doctors out there versus the number of patients and hours they need to serve those patients?
Well, right now we're at a fairly good median point. There are anecdotal stories about shortages. The state of Wisconsin, however, does currently calculate an amount of shortages, but they tend to be isolated. In rural areas in particular, northern parts of the state, inner city parts of Milwaukee, for example.
Another wrinkle that's there in your report, we hear a lot of calls for better patient service by allowing doctors to spend more time with each patient that they meet. Obviously, if that's a goal of ours, that's going to put more stress on this this doctor shortage in 20 years.
I think one of the strategies is likely to be more use of team-based care, where you instead of having a physician meeting for the entire time of that visit, more other practitioners such as the physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, and so forth, so that we can better leverage physician resources.
We're talking to George Quinn. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce, looking at a projected shortfall of doctors in Wisconsin, especially in about 20 years. And George, I hit the word projected hard there. I know your organization and others are working on this now to try to make it so that we're not in that position. What kind of things are already happening in Wisconsin to try to deal with this projected shortfall?
Well, there are at least two positive developments in that regard. The first has to do with a relatively new state program, which provides grants to those organizations that wish to either start or expand graduate medical education. That's the period of training after graduation from medical school. And the reason that that was taken as a strategy was that GME provides the best bang for the buck, if you will. Number one, there's a higher retention rate among GME graduates than from our own medical schools. About a third of graduates from our medical schools stay and practice in Wisconsin. About 50% from the graduate medical education program stay in practice, number one. So the retention issue is a very important one. Secondly, these programs can be started and implemented within, a three-year period at relatively low cost. So that's why we suggested that there be a grant program put into the state budget, and it's currently in the state budget. And that's that has some very positive results. 11 organizations have been granted money to either start or expand new GME programs. And up to this point, it will result in 73 new positions, every year 73 physicians being trained in these programs, graduating about 21 per year. So that's a positive development.
So you mentioned graduates of Wisconsin medical schools, only about a third of them end up staying in this state. Apart from this idea of graduate medical education, GME, that's what that stood for. What other ideas are there to try to retain, try to keep more of those Wisconsin-trained doctors serving in Wisconsin?
Well, another very positive development was the Medical College of Wisconsin opening two new campuses, one in Green Bay and one in Wausau. The idea is from the kind of grow your own philosophy. The more likely that you are able to attract, let's say, college graduates into your medical school from that same state, the more likely you are to then have a retention, a higher retention rate. As a matter of fact, our statistics show that if you graduated from a medical school in Wisconsin and from a GME program in Wisconsin, there's a 70% retention rate. But that goes even further if that same student had graduated from a college or university in Wisconsin, that reaches 86%, pretty high rate. So that development has been very positive. Their first few classes that they have admitted have a very high percentage of students from Wisconsin, about 85 to 90%.
Do we have enough students, say, at the high school level in Wisconsin, wanting to go into medicine? Or do we need to step up our efforts to recruit more high schoolers into medical school?
And it really needs to start right around that time, maybe even in middle school. And we have the Wisconsin AHEC program, the Area Health Education Councils, do a good job in that regard, but we need to step up that effort.
Are we at a place where we need incentives, apart from educating students here, incentives to stay and work in Wisconsin, maybe especially in areas where we're already seeing maybe problems recruiting general practitioners, specialists in rural or big city Wisconsin?
Well, I think that could come. I think right now our focus has been on making sure that we have enough graduate medical education slots, number one, and number two, that we're directing our attention towards Wisconsin-oriented folks, people who have some background in Wisconsin.
We sometimes hear about recruiting people from around the world to come to medical schools here and to practice medicine in the country. It sounds like that's not your starting point for meeting this gap.
That's not our priority at this point because we continue to fall back on our retention statistics and rely on those. And I think those have proven to be a very effective way to increase our workforce.
How about specializations? Do we expect to have a shortage in particular types of medicine?
Well, the areas that we've focused on are primary care, in other words, family medicine, for example, general surgery, those surgeons who do general type work, not the orthopedic surgeons and so forth, and psychiatry. Those are areas of particular need. Our grant program, the one that we were able to implement in through the state budget, requires grantees to have to form or expand residency programs in those three specialties. They also need to have a fairly substantial component of the training take place in rural areas. So primary care, general surgery, psychiatry, and in rural areas. And that has proven to be very successful.
We're talking to George Quinn. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce. He's joining us to talk about an expected doctor shortage coming up here in Wisconsin.
And we'd like to hear from you. Are you a doctor who's concerned about caring for patients in the event of a physician shortage? How do you think the state should reach out to prospective doctors? Or if you're a Wisconsin resident, What do you think about a potential pending doctor shortage? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. You can also email your thoughts to talk@WPR.org.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation about a potential shortage of doctors in Wisconsin in the next couple of decades, according to a new report published this week. And we want to hear from you. Are you a Wisconsin resident who's worried about a potential doctor shortage, or are you a physician who's facing this themselves? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
And if you're on the front lines of this, if you work in healthcare, in a hospital, or in medical education, we'd love to hear your perspective, too, at 800-642-1234. George Quinn is with us. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce. That's the group that published this new study. George, before we go to our callers, talk about the worst case. We don't do enough to meet this. What does healthcare look like in Wisconsin in 20 years?
Well, I think we'd be facing, since we would have a gap, we would be facing issues relating to access and how will that population in the year 2035 gain access to providers that it needs. Those are unanswered questions at this point.
We'll bring on our callers now. Tom is with us in Waukegan, Iowa. Tom, hi.
Hi. Your expert talked about retention rates, but didn't talk about some of the reasons for the lower retention rates. And I'm wondering how welcome foreign, out-of-the-country trained or whatever medical staff really are here with the politics the way they are and my guess is that the retention rates there are not very high. I have some experience in seeing people leave that
Tom,
I thought would stay.
Tom, thanks for the call. George, I don't know if your statistics go down this fine, but do we know whether foreign-born medical providers are staying here? Are we retaining them as well as anyone else?
No, I think we have the same experience as other states. Those retention rates tend to be lower, as you might imagine, folks. The farther away you are from your home state or homeland, for that matter, the more likely you are to not be retained.
Tom, thanks for that call. Go next to Rich on the line in Nina. Rich, hi.
Hello. I've got two kids that are about to go into college, and they're asking me, you know, what should we go for? And I'm like, with all the government regulations, limiting, what doctors can charge and all that, like, how can I recommend, them going into the medical field?
Rich, thanks for that call. And we hear that sometimes, regulations, worry about malpractice, lawsuits, things like that. Are people steering clear, George, of becoming doctors?
Well, that has been cropping up more and more as a rationale for not entering the medical field. I think to a large extent, the reasons that folks enter the medical field is that they want to be caregivers. There are also those who seek, they're scientists and people who seek more greater knowledge, and they tend to be those kinds of folks. So those who still want to provide care, who want to be caregivers, who want to help patients are the ones who tend to gravitate towards the medical field.
Rich, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to George Quinn. He's with the Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce, looking at that organization's new report, looking at a potential shortage of doctors in Wisconsin in about 20 years. Still time for your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Are you in healthcare? Do you see this happening? Is this a slow-moving crisis? Do you train doctors? Are you in one of the medical schools here in the state? As a patient, do you worry about this? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We'll take another caller. We've got Nick on the line in Madison. Nick, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Nick?
So I'm actually a registered respiratory therapist. I have my bachelor's degree in respiratory science, and I have been closely watching the AARC website for the creation of an APRT, which is an advanced practicing respiratory therapy position, which would put RTs on level with PAs and NPs, and it kind of in a way to help kind of get bridge the gap in the future shortcoming of physicians. I'm just kind of interested on what your guest has to say about something like that.
Nick, thanks for the call. So, George, something not more doctors, but maybe having certain kinds of specialists get more advanced training and licensing, presumably, is that potentially part of the solution?
I think it's both inevitable and necessary. We just will not be able to produce enough physicians to close the gap.
So what would we have to do to make something like that happen? Is that something the state would do to license? Is this a national medical issue? Who would have to take the lead on something
like
that?
One of the issues has to do with licensure and broadening the current licensure capabilities of various practitioners. Secondly, is in as much as there's a need to produce more physicians, there's also a need to graduate more nurses and nurse practitioners and other pharmacists who are also becoming part of a team-based care work group. And others, I think we need to be as flexible as we can, but at the same time, we need to understand that educational institutions, we need to admit more and graduate more of these other clinicians as well.
Thanks for the call, Nick. We'll go next to Marcy in West Allis. Marcy, hi.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I was wondering if PAs are going to have to take on more of the responsibilities that doctors have, seeing as though we're going to have a shortage.
Marcy, thanks for the call. You'd mentioned physicians, assistants, and nurse practitioners. Are we going to have to have more of them doing more of the work that currently goes to doctors?
I think that's going to be the case. The pattern of that, the model that's used in any particular organization will differ. Each health system will take on its own approach to this team-based care model, a different mix, if you will, of practitioners. So whether it's PA or it's an NP or even, let's say, a pharmacist or other practitioners, it'll all be very unique to that particular health system.
Is this going to require a culture change that includes patients here? Because I imagine a lot of people come in and say, I want to talk to someone with MD after their name to talk about my problem.
I think that's also something that's going to have to be accommodated, and it'll have to change. I know I'm aware of that kind of attitude towards various initials behind certain people's names.
Let's go to another caller. Thanks for that. We'll go next to Jill on the line in Wausau. Jill, hi.
Hi, I have a son who just graduated from medical school, and what they're being told at, there are more students in medical school than in the history of the United States, but there's a shortage of residencies that hospitals, because they're not receiving federal funding, oftentimes are cutting their residency programs or just making them in, like you say, into family medicine, or surgery, or psychiatry, and the other ones. He's in a residency right now, and when he accepted it, he wanted to go into dermatology. He's doing a transitional year, and that hospital has now dropped their dermatology residency.
Jill, thanks a lot for the call. So, George, a bottleneck not necessarily in the medical schools, but in the residency that you need, I don't fully understand how it works, but you need to do many specialties in medicine.
Well, again, residencies are the postgraduate training that's necessary, and various specialties require certain time frames for that. For example, family medicine requires 3 years, psychiatry 4 years, general surgery 5 years. One of the reasons, one of the impetuses behind our suggesting and implementing the state grant program was a recognition that these kinds of things are happening at the national level where we don't have as much control. In Wisconsin, we're able to control it a bit better by making these grants available, thereby providing incentives to health organizations, health systems, to start and expand their own programs.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jill. So, George, this is a slow-moving crisis, which in a way is good news. It gives us more time to do things, and it takes time to train more doctors. Is it harder, though, because we're talking 20 years off, to create a sense of, I guess, urgency among people who would need to be on board to solve this?
Well, that is part of the problem. It's also, you know, you make a projection 20 years in the future that has many assumptions attached to it, but it's really necessary for us to do that. It takes about 15 to 20 years to train a physician. When you include the undergraduate, the medical school and the postgraduate training and residency programs, it's anywhere between 15 and 20 years. So we need to look at these issues today if we want to make changes.
And do you see all the necessary parties at the table taking this seriously and starting to make these moves?
Well, there have been a lot of organizations that have stepped up to the plate, both in terms of the state government, as well as health systems, as well as the medical schools and the professions. So there's a general recognition of a need to deal with this problem, and a lot of folks have become engaged in it.
From the level of state government, briefly as we wrap up, if there's one thing that the legislature and the governor could work on that would help with this problem, what would it be?
Well, it would definitely keep in place our existing program and even expand it, because as we indicated in the report, the efforts taken thus far have been terrific, but they will not be enough. So we'll need to redouble that effort.
George, thanks a lot for joining us here in the studio today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to George Quinn to talk about a potential doctor shortage here in Wisconsin. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce. His group released a report looking at this potential shortage we've been talking about and some ideas that can help address it. You can read that report, by the way, on our website, WPR.org. We've got a link to that also at the Central Time Facebook page.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.